Good morning. This is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico, the best station in the nation. Right, and let me tell you, it is Viernes, Friday. This is the local flavor con el gato loco, Raul Torrieto. And then we got Ken George and George and Ken, you know, interchangeable parts, man. Everything is rocking good today, vato.
Stop it.
All right. We got
it. You know, I just want to say that KURU, more than any other community radio station, will defend your right to sing the blues.
Sing the blues, man. And talking about the blues, we got Mary Stone from the Blues.
Hello, good morning.
How are you there, Mary?
Hi, I'm doing well. How about you?
Man, doing great. And we got Steven. How are you, Steve? Steve, what do I call you?
Steven's great. Thanks for having us.
All right, Steven. Well, Mary, I know you're kind of in a rush, man. We're ready to rock and roll with the blues and blues with the rock or whatever you want to call it.
Sounds good. Yeah, so I have a little bit of information about what's going on for Memorial Day weekend. So as we know, Blues Festival, Memorial Day weekend, that is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's going to be May 24th, 25th, and 26th, I do believe. So we're going to start talking about the Friday kickoff. So on Friday, we've got Whiskey Creek Zocalo. They're going to have a band playing from 7 to 10. I believe that's a ticketed event. That's going to be posted out probably later today, so watch our social media for it. We've got Facebook and Instagram. We've got the Little Toad Creek playing 8 to 11 on that Friday as well. And Q Southern Bistro is planning to have something going on. They haven't given me their band information just yet, so we're waiting on that. We've got Saturday at Goff Park. That is the big day. Gates open at 10. And music starts at 11. We'll have the Illusions Band playing straight up at 11. That's one of our locals. Everyone really seems to like them, and it's pretty awesome. I got to see them play on our 420 block party event that we had, and that was really amazing. Then we've got, at 1 o'clock, we've got the Mark May. At 3, we've got the Little House of Funk, which is a Connie Branock band. We've got 5 o'clock, Kelly Baker Band. 7 o'clock is Alistair Green. And at 9 p.m., the gates will be closing to the public, and then we'll be back again on Sunday. So gates open at 11 on Sunday, then they close at 6:30. We've got 3 bands lined up for that day. At noon, we've got Mama's Kitchen Sink. We've got 2 o'clock, Felix y Los Gatos, one of the favorites from previous years. 4 o'clock, we've got Hurricane Ruth. And we've also got on Saturday at the Little Toad Creek, after everything closes at 9 o'clock, head down there, 9 to midnight. Then we've got Sunday. I think the Little Toad Creek has something planned, and they're going to be announcing that pretty soon, too. So stay tuned. And that's going to be the main list of events that's going on for Memorial Day weekend.
Man, there's a lot. Boy, that's a lot going on. So we're actually going to be the 2-day deal, man. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So 3-day if you count Friday as the kickoff schmoozing day around town. Uh-huh. Yep.
Man, all kinds of music. Man, a lot of people are talking a lot, about the blues because we sure have missed it for a while. And now we went from 1-day to 2-day, and it's quite interesting because I remember the first time it came out.
We're really, impressed by the amount of support that we got last year. And, you know, we put it out into the community to see how receptive the community was going to be for us to get that financial and community support for the Blues Festival and to expand it to a 2-day event. And we got it. So we're back, 2-day event, 3 days around the community here. And we couldn't be more excited with the lineup that we got and the amount of supporters that we got, sponsors, and everyone who's contributed to make this Blues Festival event a whole weekend of fun.
And boy, this can be a blast. Let me ask you one thing they were requesting me. Are you going to be doing the fence thing again so people can actually walk around and be comfortable and having their adult beverages and everything? Because I think that's a great idea, because let me tell you, it really helped out a lot, the security portion of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so we are going to have it fenced in again, and the beer garden is going to be provided by Q Southern Bistro and the Little Toad Creek.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So kind of the same setup we had last year. We're also going to have 3 entrances as we did last year. I think that's really helpful. We also have little breaks in the fence here and there for people, vendors, and backup volunteers, everything to be able to come and go easily through the event, because it does get a little bit packed, and we like that. So,
yeah, a great thing for that as well is one, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to have that sort of free roaming aspect to the beer garden and within the event. Security has been increased, so we really are impressed by how well it's worked. We've completely cut things like, you know, theft down by 100% within the festival, and we're really impressed by that.
Interesting, really.
So that was, you know, kind of a security thing, and I didn't realize the statistics until we jumped into, you know, how well that worked. So we're kind of impressed by that. I didn't think it was too appealing myself, but here we are with the statistics, and it worked really well. And, yeah, and we're going to have a lot more accessibility. So we're going to have these three entrances. We're going to have a lot of different ways that you can just have this really, you know, blues fest setting within the entire event, going around with the vendors, the beer garden, the entertainment, of course, our food vendors, and, you know, just kind of having this circulatory event all around this park here. And
here's the big question. Here's the big question. Is it going to be ticketed to get in?
Nope. We're keeping the blues free.
Gratis, huh?
Yes, it's going to be
free. Thanks to your support, community of Silver City, and everyone who attended. We're going to have a free event again. I do want to say, we are limiting cooler entries. We are limiting factory sealed food entries and factory sealed beverages. So be careful there. There are going to be bag checks at the gate. So be prepared for that. You know, we've got to keep this event family friendly and safe for everyone in our community. No firearms are allowed. No unregistered service animals are allowed. So, you know, we want to make sure that everyone in our community is safe. So be prepared for all those things and make sure you follow the rules so we can have a family fun event.
You know, that's what it's all about. You got to really lay it out there, throw it out there, because you'd be surprised, you know, what goes on in these type of events, you know, what people want to bring in and do, or, you know, and I'm so glad you brought about the animals on that one, because there's even an ordinance on that, you know, through the city and so on. And I know that there could be some issues on that one, but I'm so glad you brought that out so people can know what's going on now.
Absolutely, yeah. We feel it's important to keep our community safe. That's our first priority right there, community safety. And second, have a great time.
Well, you know what? That's pretty much what it's all about. Let me ask you, Vanderbilt last year or the year before, putting up little tents, umbrellas and stuff. I remember that was something that they weren't allowed to do. What's going on this year?
Yeah, well, the town, you know, we can't have any canopies on the grass. And, you know, we want you to protect yourself from the sun, of course, so bring good sturdy shoes and lots of sunscreen. We allow umbrellas in the park, but we don't recommend that you put them up in front of other people while they're trying to watch. That's
exactly
really
right.
What it was. Yeah, a lot of people didn't care for sitting in front of them.
I announced that a few times, and boy, I got talked at. Well, I wanted my umbrella. I said, well, you know what? Man, you got to let other people see what's going on. That's
right.
That's the reason we're here.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So I know it's not like part of the fun or anything, but if you do want to bring umbrella, you can. Just please don't block anybody else while you're at it.
You can still come into the park at 10, claim your spot on the grass, lay your things out, get your chairs all set up before the music starts, and, you know, get all settled in. I do want to say, you know, we have a VIP area that's going to be for our sponsors underneath the large gazebo there, as well as a handicap accessible, wheelchair accessible parking underneath the gazebo there. And we want to make sure the event is accessible to everyone and that we're comfortable with any sort of situations there, getting everyone settled in to listen to the blues.
Man, let me tell you, it's that time of year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, man, this month is just action-packed, man, no matter how you look at it. Tomorrow we got that Fight Like a Girl in Fort Beard. We got burlesque baseball on the 18th. And we got the blues. Man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to rest after all this.
No, nope, but we're going to keep you working.
And Give Granley is still going. So we had a great day last weekend. And, you know, Give Granley is still accepting donations for 65 nonprofits around our community here that make our community such an amazing place to be. So consider still donating through the 20th to the Give Grandly. We're doing great, up to $130,000 so far. This is a fantastic start. But you know, our goal was $250,000. So, you know, get in right now. We're still waiting for those donations to come in. So please support your local community nonprofits.
So Mary, we still can do it online. When's the last day for online?
Yeah, you can do it online. I believe May 20th is the last day. If you want to sneak something in after the date, I'm sure that Grant County Community Foundation will take it.
Run down to the Grant County Community Foundation, do some cash or check donations. That's the best way to get those fees not included in your donation, or you can head over to givegrandly.org.
And you know what, Mary? The thing is, everybody donates, you know, because we have a bunch of nonprofits. We keep the money in the community. It circulates in the community, and that's what it's all about. You know, like this radio station, you know, we circulate all kinds of information, everything comes on here in Grant County. And like I said, the money stays here in this county, and that's what it's all about. And the thing is anytime something comes about, everybody's involved.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so when you donate, you're really donating to yourself, too, you know? You're livening up the community, and you're keeping your nonprofits alive.
That's exactly right. Special. Let me ask you, did you all come up with any stats from last year on how many people actually showed up for the Blues? Because I heard it was a pretty good turnout for just being a one-day event.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was a smashing success, actually. We were very surprised. We did have some tickets at the front entrances, so we could track how many people came in. We had some clickers to count things. We had an estimated 12,000 people come through the event, which was a one-day event last year, and we were really surprised. We had a lot of ideas on how we were going to work with traffic, foot traffic, and things like that, and all of them went out the window because we were pretty overwhelmed by how many people were in the park at once. We were quite surprised, quite pleased, and helped us reach our donation goal so we could have a two-day event this year. We're estimating about 15,000 to 18,000 people this year.
I heard about close to 20,000,
but I heard. So, we're gearing up for that, getting extra personnel on staff to help with that.
Well, let me ask you this, Mary. We all need volunteers. Are you still needing volunteers?
Yes.
Throw it out there, because let me tell you, volunteers are the ones that make the movers and shakers.
Yes, they are, and we are so, so, so thankful. So we are still looking for volunteers. We've got the shirt orders going, so if you're wanting to volunteer, you get one of those exclusive volunteer shirts
Are you going to share what color it is this year?
Ooh. Yeah, I guess I could. We're actually rolling with a neon coral is the name of the color. So neon, it's going to be coral. A pinkish kind of color this year. We have to do something that's different from the previous years. And so that's what we had decided to go with. And I am going to have to leave here in just a moment. So I want to throw out some shout outs really quickly. Of course, our volunteer crew. Woohoo. Yeah. Good job, everybody. And if you want to join our crew, please contact us as soon as possible. We have the Blues Festival website. We have all of our Facebook and Instagram. And we also have our event coordinator, shebang, the email, so you can contact us anyway. We also have our cell phone numbers and things online. So please reach out. The Makers Market vendors, so we've done the Makers Market at the Blues Festival for the last 2 years now, and so these are your handcrafted, handmade makers of your community, so be sure to come out, show your vendors some love, show your locals, support local, you know. Of course, the town of Silver City for being the best ever and supporting us every single year and, you know, like providing things like, you know, funding and the annex building for volunteer parking and, of course, all the supplies and all the effort, the permits, and everything that has to go through, and they work with us every time. We'd also like to thank the wonderful MCs, Nan and Raul, for their amazing job that they did last year, and we're very excited to say that they're going to be back and doing their thing again, of course. We also want to thank the MRAC team. So MRAC, you know, is the reason that this happens every year. They're pretty much the main team.
No, that's great. No.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And... yeah, I think that's like the most of my shout outs for the moment, and I'll let Steven handle the rest of that. And thank you for having me.
Well, Mary, we'll stay in touch as time goes by. And
I got lots of info for you.
Matter of fact, talking about Nan, you know, I already have about a 16 page, you know, just breakdown on all the you know, all the performers and everything. So we'll be here for the next 3 hours talking about it. Okay, Steve?
Right, yeah. Yeah. I packed a lunch.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks so much, you guys.
I'll see you later, man. You take care. You take care, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, let me tell you, you guys are just moving and grooving, aren't you? And, no, the thing is people are excited because, you know, the blues has been such a – oh, I should have brought my other information when the first time the blues came about. And I remember it was it started off at about 11 o'clock, and it ended at 4 o'clock, and I think they had three bands. And,
yep.
And there was about 50 people out there. I mean, I remember the first one, and as time went by. And
when was that?
Excuse me?
When was that, the first one?
Man. Oh,
29 years ago.
29 years ago.
Yeah, right, yeah. No,
your age.
We were actually in it, but not then. I think we got in here, I think in 90, pretty close to the first one, though. It was in 98, I think.
In 98?
Yeah.
Well, I remember when it started moving and grooving.
Right.
It was interesting because I would have a 1950 Chevy flatbed 3/4-ton pickup, and I'd have my coolers. I had the sofa because it was a 3-day event, literally.
Right.
And we just camped out there, and yep. Man, that was a cool. And you know, and I'd park a couple days ahead of time just to be there, and talking about a lot of fun, man. And it's always been that way.
Yeah, absolutely. We couldn't be more thrilled to see how far this event has gone. And, you know, very humbled to be the coordinators for the last 2 years, 28th and 29th annual Blues Festival. It's absolutely amazing how far this has gone, how much the community has put into keeping this event going. I'm astounded.
Well, you know what, Stephen, I just want to say, when last year you asked us to MC it, and because I've done it a couple times before you guys came on, and what I really enjoyed about you and Mary, Ken, this is going to hurt you and George. Man, these guys are young and got a lot of energy, man. They could run circles around us more than anything else. And,
well, you should feel threatened as well.
Hey, man, I still got the last thing. Don't say it, George.
Actually, Ken could probably run circles around us on his hands.
No, I don't. And I know he's done it a couple times out there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But no, that's what I really enjoy about you and Mary, where you're very organized. And boy, I can't believe how many volunteers you guys had last year.
Yeah, that was a great contribution to the team. There is how many people stepped up to keep the event running smoothly, keep the park clean, keep people hydrated and safe, and you know, keep those donations flowing. We you know, we put a little benchmark out there, and we're hoping that if we could reach that benchmark, we'd open up to a 2-day event. And our volunteers, they pushed, they worked that crowd. Of course, Raul, you and Nan, you worked that crowd as well. Like, we had to make that benchmark, get that quota up, so that we could have the funding to have a 2-day event. And man, we were able to reach that. We were able to work the crowd. We had that receptive community there, and our volunteers to step up and make it a great event. You know, of course, yeah, Mary and I were running around like crazy. Hey, you know, we got to check this over here. We got to put this fire out over here. We got to deal with this over here. So, you know, we're just going to do it while we can, while we got the energy. Keeps us young, keeps us going. But also, it's a great cause. It's really a worthy cause for us to put our energy into, and we love to see these community events continue happening within, you know, Silver City, New Mexico. And, you know, it brings people from – we had some statistics from last year based on those who inputted their feedback into our surveys, the license plates and things like that, and – we had a lot of out-of-staters come in. We had a bunch of Colorado folks come in. We had a bunch of folks from Arizona come in. And, you know, and just from all over the region here, you know, Texas and California. There are people who specifically come to Silver City every year for this event. And so, what an economic driver for our community. We couldn't be more thrilled with the statistics on that.
Well, one of the things that really helped out last year that was a fantastic idea was those QR codes that you actually put out there, and they were huge. I mean, yep. they walked around with them and so on. And I guess a lot of individuals just get your phone, boom, kick it in, and donation right there or whatever information you need. And I just want to say this. I do want to thank you and Mary for allowing us to do it again, because Nan and I was asked to do it. And then I said, you know what, we need a little bit of a twist. Grant County always has a twist on something, you know?
That's right.
And when Nan came in, she's just awesome on the mic, and we just work so good together. And I like to let the Saboritos know out there, I got about a 18-page document right now, and just dissecting
every band.
And that's who Nan is. Yeah. She is so good about finding information, especially when it comes down to a lot of these performers. And I just want to really thank you guys, being a homeboy here from Grand County, Stephen, to have Illusion Band kick it off, because they went to the Tejano Fest down in San Antonio, you know, the Latina Awards. I mean, they're a household name, and for them to kick it off, man, that's a really special day here in Grand County, and we really want to thank you on that. But let me tell you, man, it's a pretty good lineup you have here.
Yeah, we're really fortunate. We had a couple of bands, approach us, and hey, we've played in the Blues Fest before, and we went and checked out their lineups and their music, and man, we were really excited about that. So we had them, we brought them back on. We did have a community sort of committee, music committee, a bunch of musicians and community members that we pulled together and said, you know, hey, what's going to fit here? You know, you guys are natives here. You know what the crowd's like here. What's going to fit in? And so we went through a vetting process. We probably vetted 65 bands. And it was, you know, people are hopping to get into this event. Right. Of course, we can only have 8 to 10 bands. So, you know, we really had to go through this process. But it helped that Mama's Kitchen Sink, which is Connie, that her band played down at the Little Toad Creek a couple months ago.
And yeah.
Got to go firsthand, see what their music was like and what the community thought of their music. And man, we couldn't get people to stop reaching out to us. You got to bring them back. You got to bring them back. So, you know, that was a no-brainer right there. Of course, Illusions Band, they've been around playing some really great music and just hyping up the crowd all through Silver City and Grant County. And they even played at a festival in Texas.
They've done it for a few years
for
already.
For a few years. And man, they get a crowd going. And then I saw them firsthand over the 420 event block party, and I was like, yep, that's our guys right there. We definitely want to get them in here. And, of course, we have to have some sort of local local scene here, some sort of local band. We want to make sure we support our local bands here who are specifically within the blues scene, and, man, they ticked every box there.
There you go. And let me just say, I would just like to bring up on Saturday at 1 p.m., yeah, Mark May, I mean, they're actually from Houston, Texas, founder of the blues, when his Aunt Len and him had a copy of B.B. King's live Cook County Jail when it was 11 years old. And, man, he ran with that. And that's what it is, man. You know, like, can you hear whenever you want to become a musician, you hear like you're Elvis Presley, B.B. King, whatever. And I guess he's and what I really enjoy it because
Gaither Carlton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We made a little quotation about the devils, you know, and me and Nan already talking about it. I said, man, what are we going to wear on that one? I said, boy, this is going to be a good one. So we're kind of ready to, you know, kick it up, you know. Absolutely. You know, the album is the Deep Bark Demon reached from number 2 album of the Billboard Blues chart in 2020. And this is actually that Mark May. And I'm telling you, the former right-hand man, Dickie Bett, whose 2016 album Blue Heavens reached the number 6 Billboard Blues. So you got some pretty big guns out there already, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, Kelly Baker Band, she has been making a name for that band, you know, just topping some charts year after year for the last couple of years now. So we're beyond fortunate to have them coming in for that. Alistair Green, you know, they have been a phenomenal scene, and we just you know, definitely couldn't have a better lineup this year. We're really fortunate.
So let's go back to Kelly Baker Band. They're actually from Huntington, New York. New York.
That's right.
Man.
People get the blues in New York, too.
Oh, do they do
that? Yeah, you know, it reaches all over.
Well, right now, there's a lot of blues going on in New York, right there, George?
Actually, there's just a lot of air pollution.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, the blues is it's relevant everywhere, and that's one thing we love about the blues is it's got roots so deep that it brings a community together here, and it's got music that everyone can enjoy from any generation.
Well, we're going to go down to a couple more bands. I'd like to kind of dissect a couple of you know, information on some bands before, but we're hitting at the bottom of the aisle there, Canuto or Kenny. Now it's going to be because we're getting to the close to the blues. It's Kenny now. It's not Canuto or Ken. Yeah. I won't call you Kenny. I'll stop that. But, you know, this wonderful radio station is what we get all the information out. Kenno. I'm telling you, Ken. So, you know, it's very important that not only donating for other I just love it. I was going to say 501.
Yeah, I was watching your red shirt.
I was going to say 501.
Yeah, yeah, I was watching your red shirt. And I wanted to say Kenyet. Kenyet.
So then, no, these nonprofits are very, very important. And you know what? And this radio station is also a nonprofit. And you know what? Yes. I'm getting all kinds of great information from all over saying that, hey, man, you know what? Please let us know what's going down. And that's what it's all about. But we need a little bit of help, you know. So please donate a little bit on the radio station also. Right there, Ken.
George? Yeah, sure. Any psychiatrists out there have a little free time, you know?
501. 501.
Anyway, yeah, you can help us out if you can go to gmcr.org and you push on that donate button. And you can find what can we find there? A barrel full of monkeys telling you different ways to become a member.
A 53-foot 18-wheel trailer full of ways.
Yeah, yeah. So you can make a lot of cheese from that.
Right. Actually, you know, it could be as large as, you know, one of those double trailer things.
Oh, the triple ones. They run in Montana or somewhere. They let them run triple, I think.
I don't want to be in that lane.
It's hard to pass that, you know. Anyway, you can go on there and you can push the button and you can push on the donate button and you can find a lot of ways. We'd like it if you sign up for a monthly plan, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month, $1,000 a month, whatever, you know. We're happy with it.
And yeah, that helps Ken and Jeannie because, you know, if the money comes in regularly, the need to busk all the time diminishes a little bit.
Keeps the stress level down a little bit.
I think one thing we could do to help is we could have all the people who play any music who sing that are volunteers at the station should take during the month we should have a rota where they stand out in front of the station and busk. You know, wouldn't that be good?
And everybody has the right to sing the blues.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Everybody, yeah. Steven, you want to sing the blues, Steven?
I'm for it. I support you all. You support us. That's how a community works.
Right. And the other thing, you can come down to 519B North Bullard, right here at the corner of Bullard and 6th, and you can put some money. Karma Corner, right? Remember, your karma will be vastly improved and enhanced. And turbocharged if you come down to Karma Corner here and donate some money as well. So, I mean, you can just pick up the vibes, you know, from out there, you know. In fact, the vibes are going to be drifting all the way over to Gough Park on the 25th and 26th of May. And so you can go over there.
That's why people come from all over the country to the Blues Festival.
Right.
That's right.
Because of this station.
You know.
Yeah,
you know, and here's a question, Stephen, and I was asked a few times because once I get off stage, I walk around and talk to everybody. I mean, that's who I am. Mm-hmm. Are there actually going to be? And this is a question to be asked because people are are becoming very responsible when it comes down to a beverage here and a beverage there. Mm-hmm. Are they going to have the Cordy Cantinas running and everything? Because that was one of the questions that was asked.
Absolutely, we're going to have a lot of. We're trying to do our best to have a lot of transportation for that. There's actually a couple of individuals who do Uber here in town. And so that's going to be a thing as well. Core Cantina, yeah, they're going to be there, I believe, around 9. And they'll be available there in that parking lot next to the Grant County Community Foundation, helping out folks who need a lift, getting home and getting home safe. That is the name of the game, is safety. And I know how it is. You want to go out and have a good time, but, you know, be responsible. Don't drink and drive. And, you know, let's all get home safe so we can come back for the next day.
Can walk back.
You can walk back.
Yeah, you know, by the time you get home, you'll be sober.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you live in the Mimbres or somewhere.
Right, yeah, walk all the way to Mimbres.
Yeah, there you go.
No, it's great because a lot of the people that that I was talking to, they were from El Paso, Las Cruces, even from Deming. There was quite a lot of people from Deming. And they were asking us, we're staying here and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I just want to know if, you know, if anything that we can be, you know, taken to the motel room. I said, no, not a problem. We'll figure something out. But I was glad because you look at the demographics of the age group for the Blues. It's not a lot of young kids. It's a lot of, you know, people, yeah. I don't want to say our age, you know, because you're a lot younger than I am, Stephen. But
you're a lot younger than me.
And I'm a lot younger than you. So
I know. And probably about the same difference.
No, there you go. Well, it's those individuals who have developed that appreciation for the Blues. You know, I'm getting there. I definitely have a deeper appreciation for that soul music there. And so, you know, we're getting to that demographic where, you know, you've got to really start appreciating those small things in life that really elevate your, standard of living and your appreciation for life and those good vibes of the Blues.
You know, and it's just gonna get better year after year, and that's exactly what happened. I'm so glad that you guys actually came back, you know, brought it back alive, you know, even though it was a one-day event, but it's great that
stepping stones.
Then it's a stepping stone, and you know what? It's just amazing on what it takes to put something like this together. I mean, it literally takes a village.
And, absolutely.
At first, I remember starting off, man, I don't know how many chairs and tents and everything I had to haul, you know, for these Blues Festival. And now look at where we're at, and it's so great.
Well, let me tell you about this. We are going to have 85 retail vendors there.
85?
We're going to have 85 retail vendors there. There's going to be a huge setup for things that you can access, browsing the wares when the music's not playing. About 60 of those are going to be local, Silver City local vendors. So, you know, Maker's Market, handcraft, homemade, homegrown, all sorts of products there. So come on down and support them, as well as the other retail vendors who are going to be coming from out of town. And we got 16 diverse food vendors coming in. We got 2 very astute beer garden vendors. So we're going to have Little Toad Creek serving up that home-brewed craft beer and spirits, as well as Q Southern Bistro. That's going to be doing all the main brand beer and spirits. So definitely come check it out for that. You know, like we said, we got the 16 different food vendors given a different variety of things for that, and we got all the bands, of course. But you know, this is a great, I think this is a great time to actually give a shout out about why the Blues Festival came back at full force this year. We could not have done this without our sponsors. All right, and so I want to definitely give a plug in this time.
Please
right
do.
Now. We got the town of Silver City, who is coming in every single year for the past 20 years. That is just that main supporter for the Blues Festival here in Silver City. We got the Grant County of New Mexico here. They have stepped up to really make us fill in those gaps about why we can afford to have a 2-day event, why we can afford to bring in 6 more great bands. We got Western New Mexico University. University hopping on the bandwagon here and really supporting things. We got the Canna Company here in Silver City. We got Covenant Auto Car and Rental. They've been a new supporter. Usually we throw in a couple dealerships in there, and Hatch Ford was our dealership last year, but Covenant Auto, they jumped in, stepped up, and they became that new dealership coming in to bring some cars in, show what they got in their beautiful wares. You know, we got KRWG Public Media, And they're going to be doing a lot of our advertising for us around New Mexico. AARP of New Mexico really stepping up to help us out. Rocky Mountain Cannabis, Tom Blanchard Insurance. We got Rose Valley RV Ranch and Casitas. Definitely check them out. If you're looking for a place to stay in an RV, Rose Valley is your place here in Silver City, New Mexico. We got the Music Commission of New Mexico. So we got a very large governmental division there, the New Music Commission. They couldn't have been more excited to hear what we were doing and then jump on the bandwagon to support us. We also got the Rocky Mountain Cannabis coming in. We got T-Mobile, so another great organization. Buffalo Bud Farming Co., they're jumping on to really make sure that we have that funding. And you can kind of see that that tie in there between, you know, some of the individuals who, you know, like to smoke and like to listen to the blues. There and you so, go. You know, we're going to have a lot of really interesting folks coming down to enjoy the blues. Enjoy the good vibes, and that's what it's really about at the end of the day, is having some good times, having some good vibes, having a good place to relax, drink a beer, drink some spirits, and forget about your worries for the day.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, let me ask you, Ken, do you know who the Felix y Los Gatos are? Yeah. Do you know who they are?
Yeah.
Tell me about them, eh?
Well, they're a good band. They've been up in Albuquerque for a long time, and, you know, they had an accordion player I know for a while. I think they still do. And we haven't seen them for quite a while, you know, but I remember they came down here one of the times when we were working at the Blues Festival. They're down here before, too. And so, but they're a really good band. They're really, really, really a good band, and they have a wide range of sound. You know, it's just not always the same. That's one thing I really like about them, because sometimes blues bands, you know, after about an hour of 12-bar blues, you know, and every break starts to sound the same. So you want to get a bunch of people who really sound different, because blues goes way back.
Well, that's the whole thing, yeah.
Blues goes back. I mean, there's Chicano bands that play the blues. You know, I mean, Los Lobos plays the blues. How come we don't have Los Lobos here, man?
Yeah, really.
Right. Hey, we're working on it there, right, Steven?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we played with Zydeco bands in Louisiana, you know, which are a lot of those are basically blues. And we had a band and played blues stuff up in Albuquerque, you know, more Cajun kind of blues and stuff. But
and, you know, that's the whole thing. It's a whole diversified, you know.
That's the best part about the blues. It goes so deep. It's got wide roots. And, you know, Felix y Los Gatos, you know, they have that great blend of that, you know, sort of Latin blues, Tejano, and New Orleans swing right there. Yeah. So, we're really excited to see what they can bring to Silver City Blues Festival.
Check this out, man. He's actually here, you know, and his name is actually Felix Peralta, and he has toured with the record with many Grammy Award winners like John Popper of the Blues Travelers, Raul Pacheco of Azmati, and Michael Franti. And you know, Felix was invited to perform the award-winning song Dos Corazones.
Oh. Wow, man. I bet he's going to play that.
Yeah, he's playing across America. Yeah, he's playing the field. He's got two of them out there, man. Two sweethearts, man.
So once again, you know.
I used to have like cuatro corazones, man, around
cuatro
California
corazones, I know.
At one time, you know.
So, no, and then, you know, it's really neat there, Stephen. Let me just say, Miss Braxton, Connie, I still have connections in Tucson from the last blues where I got some numbers and so on, and I got to see Connie there in Tucson, Arizona, and she's
there you go,
there in Tucson. But let me ask Hurricane Ruth, power of a big Mama Thornton's fire, James Joplin's energy with energy of Tina Turner, or Aretha Franklin's, man, this is going to be exciting.
Yeah,
Hurricane Aretha La Master, the musical force of nature. Do you know who we're talking about there, Ken?
Who?
Hurricane Ruth.
Hurricane Ruth. Yeah, I've seen Janis Joplin live, and I.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I wish. Really, you watch Janis?
Yeah, a couple times, and I also, and I seen Big Mama a lot of times. Big Mama Thornton was great. I mean, and I saw her one time with you know, one of the old blues bands from Chicago, And she was up on stage with him doing the dirty boogie and stuff.
The dirty boogie.
It was great, you know. And no, it was good, man, you know. I saw a lot of great blues musicians, old ones, you know, and from the South and all kinds of stuff because I'm old enough. A lot of those old musicians were still alive. And a lot of them, when they were really old, they were younger than I am now. Which is something yeah. you get as a musician. You learn from older musicians. You say, wow, you know, I remember when we met Antonia Apodaca, and like she was 65. Wait, I'm a lot older than that now. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
And we got some people learning from us now. So.
Well, that's a great thing. You know, Hurricane Ruth coming in, St. Louis, Montana. She is just a dynamo of energy and that, you know, astute projection of voice. It's not often that you see someone who can project such a strong and very amazing pitch voice. So we're really, really excited to have her here. Mm-hmm. I do want to say, too, with the, you know, Brandnock, Connie and her bands, Mama's Kitchen Sink.
The
Little House of Funk. I do want to say, you know, Connie is a veteran, so we want to make sure that we recognize those who have, been in the service and made a difference for us. And then to jump into the blues and say, hey, you know, I like serving our country, but I like serving up the blues a little bit more. So we're really happy to have Connie's band down here.
I understand that. That's why I'm still alive today from playing music.
Yeah. You know,
well, you look at Mama's Kitchen Sink, you know, that's also, you know, we're going to have Connie twice, you know, back.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome because, you know, her for being for Mama's Kitchen Sink and then also Connie Braxton. She really throws it out there. The year before last, when she was on, I'm telling you, man, I thought, woman, you're going to get a heart attack, man, the way you've been jumping on stage. She goes, oh, man, I got to do it all the time, and it is cool. And, I mean, and she does a lot there in Tucson. But pretty excited about all this.
Absolutely, yeah. We couldn't be more thrilled to have Mama's Kitchen Sink and Little House of Fun coming down here. Tucson, Arizona, you know, our neighbors right across the border there into Arizona. Super excited to have them come on over here. And, talk about a funky voice. She can just bring that projection, that rasp. She's telling me, she's like, I sound like I smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. And I was like, man, how do you get that projection? And so just a sweetheart of a woman there for real. We couldn't be more excited to bring her on. And she's bringing about 15 other people here between the two bands to join her in Mama's Kitchen Sink and Little House of Funk to really bring that that community of blues players from Tucson down to Silver City, New Mexico.
Tell them to keep the heat. In Tucson.
Yeah, keep the heat. You can have that over there.
We're just projecting our projection to see how hot it's going to be there, George. You're going to be there, right, George?
Of course I am.
Are you going to wear your blues outfit like you did the last time?
He's got his blues on right now, man.
You're the one who has to wear the costume.
Oh, my goodness. It was funny because Nan freaked out. I said, what do you got, man? I had about 9 outfits.
Yeah. Double it for this year, man.
And it cracked me up because he goes, oh, my goodness, Roel. He goes, we have our own tent to ourselves. I said, yeah, well, I got to put all – I guess we had a better tent than the musicians because we had to do all our changes and everything. But
yeah,
I'll tell you. He already told me. He says, they got you this year. They got you your own telephone booth.
So, yeah,
that's right. That's right. Well, speaking about the bands, you know, I do want to give a big shout out to the Green Room and how we're going to be setting things up for the comfort of our bands.
Yeah.
You know, one main important ingredient right there, we have the coffee coming in from Javelina's coffee house here in Silver City, New Mexico. We couldn't be more fortunate to have them sponsoring the Green Room. And then right across the street there from the KURU is the food co-op. They're bringing in the food. Bringing in vegetarian, non-vegetarian options for our bands. Make sure that our bands are comfortable while they wait for their turn to get on stage, perform the blues for all of our enjoyment this Memorial Day weekend.
Man, and that's what it's all about, getting everybody involved. And I just want to say I really enjoyed the snacks and the food last year. So I'm going to be very, very good there, George. And I'm going to be jumping up on that stage, me and Nan and... And Nan, guess what? She has a couple outfits already lined out.
You know, I had the privilege of seeing Janis Joplin live
You too, George?
Back in
we're college. Old enough, man.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
We picked her up at the airport, and we had a couple of bottles of Southern Comfort. You know.
You, George? You?
The nerves there.
Yeah. She did extremely well with that Southern Comfort.
Oh, that was
when,
the one.
When the show was over, this is one of the highlights of my whole life. It snowed that night when she performed.
And where was this at?
At our college in Durham, North Carolina.
In North Carolina?
Yeah. And when the show was over, she came outside and she threw a snowball at me and hit me.
Janis Joplin.
God, you should got her to sign us some snowball, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know.
Autographed the snowball.
That's one of the greatest moments of my life.
Right. George, I had no idea.
Yeah. That happened.
Wow. Talking about a little bit amazing. Of memory lane going on here, George.
Oh, that's right.
I'm jealous.
Well, so you should be.
Yeah.
I know one time in Germany we had to follow at this big festival. Jeannie and I as a duo followed like a 10-piece real Chicago blues band from Chicago, and they did Shake Your Money Maker, their last tune, had everybody going nuts. And they just looked at us when we walked on stage. And so I just grabbed a washboard, and Jeannie started playing this old Louisiana blues on the fiddle. And I started improvising a rap song, playing the washboard, and the crowd went nuts, you know. And after it was over, the guy, the leader of the Chicago band, he came over and goes, "Wow, I thought you guys were had it, man. You've been doing this for a while." I says, "Yeah, we've been doing it longer than you." Yeah. So we know how to deal with it, man.
Well, a matter of fact, he started with the washboard.
I know. I know. Yeah, well, we were a clean act, man.
Yeah, I know. A clean act. Oh, my goodness. So let me ask you, Stephen. So coming up, we're looking at a couple weekends from now, you know, and do you have a website or anything that people can actually look in? And here's another thing, is that is it still too late to get any more vendors, you know, to participate or anything like that?
So we're about full up. Food vendors, we have been booked for months. I think that's a really big thing that so many food vendors come from El Paso and Albuquerque and Santa Fe. And so that was the first to go right there for vendors. Yeah. Is food vendors. They jump on it every year.
Yeah.
Retail vendors, we still got a waiting list. So, you know, we have a couple that are on the fence there. And so we always put a wait list out there for retail vendors to make sure that we can continue to have a completely full event there. We want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to get on that wait list, to get into the park and, you know, be a part of it. So, yeah, so we got a wait list, but we're about full up on everything else there. So, you know, if you want to get in on the Blues Festival here in Silver City, you got to jump in right after it ends and get on that wait list for next year.
So I hope you're going to have somebody like at the end of Saturday night, somebody selling menudo, and early Sunday morning, somebody selling menudo.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, la bonita out there.
And we try to diversify, you know, so we do a little bit of a process where whoever jumps in first within the food vending, you know, we say, hey, you know, we got this style of food covered. We're looking for, you know, some diversity there so everyone can have something they enjoy, and we're not having too many redundant food vendors there. With the beer garden, you know, we're looking for a diverse selection of spirits and beers, craft and main brand. So that's one of the reasons we have the two beer vendors that we do have. For next year, we're looking to maybe expand that out for a couple more local breweries here in town so we can get them some of the action there, since, you know, can't go wrong with that. It's a couple weekends from now, the 25th, 26th, Memorial Day weekend, and you can check out all the information for the bands and the event at the SilverCityBluesFestival.org. So yep. Definitely go check that out. You get more information on the bands there and, you know, what you can expect.
So let's throw it out there one more time there, Stephen. We got Illusion Band kicking off at 11 a.m., and who's next?
Mark May at 1.
At 1 o'clock, Los Diablos. Something tells me about the Devils, man. That kind of live county jail type music and stuff is going to be great. And then we have Connie.
Connie, Little House of Funk coming in at 3 p.m. there. So don't miss that. That was a fantastic
She is going to put on
a
show.
She's going to blow you away.
And Saturday at 5 o'clock, we have Kelly Baker Band from New York. New York.
Absolutely. Bringing a little bit of that authentic blues and rock. We're excited to see what she can bring to the festival.
And who's after that there, Steven?
Alistair Green. We're really excited to see them coming down to see how we can diversify that blues within our community. You know, there are multiple chart-topping top 10 billboards, so don't miss them.
You know, and that's
going to be finishing out the day on Saturday, so make sure you stay all day to see that last act there, because it's going to be a good one.
You know, and they actually toured with Alan Parsons' project, Starship. And they're also with ZZ Top and Cream. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Man, that is – thank you, Nan. Thank you, Nan.
Yeah.
They've been compared to ZZ Top.
Compared to ZZ Top. And thank you.
Their beard's not long enough.
So make sure you stay all the way through Saturday to get that, because, man, what an achievement there.
I know. It is just moving. And then Sunday, we have at 12 noon, Mama's Kitchen Sink, once again with Connie Branox is back. That's going to be cool for her to kick it off.
That's going to be a great one there.
And at 2 o'clock, we have Felix y los Gatos. So that's going to be part of, I guess I'll have to dress up like the Gato Loco on that band. What do you think, George?
I don't think you're going to need to dress up at all.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I don't think you need to wear anything, man.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, wait a minute. That's a really bad visual.
Yeah. It's a bad image in your brain.
Oh,
you know.
Stop it.
It'll keep you awake all night.
And let's finish it off, Steven, who's going to be finishing up at 4 o'clock on Sunday, the last band.
4 p.m. Sunday, we're going to finish off really strong with Hurricane Ruth.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. So, well, this is what it's all about here in Grand County. And like I said, once again, if volunteers are welcome. So how can they get a hold of you just if they want to be volunteers?
Absolutely. Volunteers are the backbone of this event. You can reach us at eventcoordinator@membersregionsartscouncil.org. So definitely check us out there. You can also go to the MRAC website, membersregionarts.org, and make sure that you get your spot on the volunteer list. Get your exclusive Blues Festival merch. No one else. It's not going to be for sale. No one else will have this merch.
That's exactly
only
right.
Only the volunteers, sponsors, and VIPs are going to have access to this. So if you want to become a VIP, there's a couple ways you can do it. Sponsor the event, buy a VIP ticket, or be a volunteer.
The Blues are back in town.
Oh, absolutely.
Orale. Here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico. Man, that is awesome. Hey, Steven, before we move on, anything else that you would like to say to the Saboritos out there? Anything that you would like to say?
I just want to say thank you for the support, for all our sponsors, all our volunteers, our community, for continuing to have the Blues Festival here. I've been here 22 years, and there's not a year I can't remember seeing the Blues Festival come into town. So we're really excited to see that in person as a local community member here, and now having the privilege to host and coordinate the Blues Festival here in Silver City. Thank you, everyone, and we hope to see you there.
Well, Steven, you have a fantastic day, because we are, and we're looking forward to the Blues, and I'll guarantee you this, we're also going to put on a show thanks to Nan.
Absolutely.
You got it?
Can't wait for it.
All right. This is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico, the best station in the nation. And let me just tell you, you can also stream us at gmcr.org and also donate a little bit of dinero for the radio station. So we're going to take a small break. And we are back here at KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico, the best station in the nation. Let me tell you, you can also stream us at gmcr.org. This is the local flavor with El Gato Loco, Raul, and also Ken and George. What an exciting morning, you guys.
No, absolutely.
Let me tell you, Stephen and Mary, when I saw them last year when they were actually organizing, I can't believe how much energy these young individuals have.
It's a good thing they're younger individuals.
I know, that's what I mean. I'm going to get an old person to be out running around, so I'm letting them borrow my golf cart and whatever they need, you know, because, man, walking in these events, you get tired.
If they're young, they don't need a golf cart.
Oh, yes, they do.
They nobody ever gave me a golf cart when I was there.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, right. But I told them, I said, I don't want nothing to do with a golf cart, you know. I don't, if it has a G-O-L-F at the beginning, I don't want it, man.
Okay, all right. So, George, I mean, let me tell you, things are moving here in Grand County. It's all exciting, and I'm so glad that we have this wonderful radio station so we can share all this information.
Well, you know, as Dr. Rosser says, we are the voice of freedom.
And there you go. And Ken hasn't left yet. Is Ken still here? Is he still here? I think he's still here.
And I just want to point out that in view of the fact that we're coming into this big campaign season, you know, we are not artificially intelligent.
No, you come by it naturally.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm so glad. Better introduce old Bart. What's your last name? Rizzoli from New Jersey? Where are you from? New York?
All right. Getting close.
He's actually the director from the Silver City Museum. We work very close together. And we have this new individual that I met probably about 5 years ago. And actually, he's an organizer. He's part of Will and Roger Tree. How are you, sir?
Very good. Happy to be here. First time on the radio, so I sort of said if I ever got on the radio, I would say from the movie, good morning, Silver City.
There you go. Man, and you know what? You got the face for radio, too, man.
Oh! Yeah.
You got to be ready for a few shots here there, Roger.
Yep,
I just got to say, I met Roger in Tucson, Arizona. He was living there in Tucson. Was taking my wife for some treatments there in Banner Hospital, and I got to meet Roger and Diane off the blues, man. By that time, I mean it was just a really fate, and now he's moved here in Silver City. How do you like here in Silver?
That's great, thank you. And you and a couple other people, we had a list of things we were looking for in the community, and tell you this ticked everything off.
So we came to you and, you know, to bring you on over here. You know, and it was really neat because I had dinner at their house and so on. And matter of fact, got to meet our puppy dogs. And he's part of the familia now, you know.
Yeah. Roger's been a great addition. He's brought new life to Will's Lunch and Learn program. It's such a pleasure working with him. Great ideas.
Well, thank you.
And how's it going with the Will organization? How's everything doing there?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We've had some good talks. We can get into that in a little bit later, but I'm excited about this burlesque baseball.
Let me tell you, it's one of a kind. Yeah. You know, what a wonderful committee that you actually put together there, Bart. And like I said, it takes a village, and we brought in a couple of really power hitters besides Roger. You know, Roger's he's the main guy behind the plate, and it was just a thought that came to be. Go ahead.
Well, we got really lucky. I mean, the fates were shining down on us. Two new folks at the Silver City Museum on our staff have just helped organize. They're both going crazy because they've never worked with Raul before.
Oh, boy. I know.
I know. Brittany,
we feel
Gears.
Sorry for them. Yeah. Thank you for your service. You know, we kind of think combat pay is appropriate.
They're telling me, you know what, we'll take care of everything, just show up. Yeah. That's what they do. We'll take care of everything, just show up to the event.
Yeah, but Brittany Beers, our new community engagement manager, and Anna Trinidad, our events coordinator, have just come at exactly the right time. I think they came a little late to the game, but they're really giving it, along with Roger, a lot of structure and form and going to make it happen. It's going to be a great day.
You know,
thanks to them.
It's interesting because we had Anna Trinidad on the show about theater. And the next minute, you know, she's working there at the museum. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness, what a jewel that you just picked up there, you. And I call her BB, you know, Brittany. So it's awesome to work so close together. And like I said, on Roger, I said, we put this thing together. It was a few years ago before, you know, COVID. And it was, matter of fact, February, we had the Burlesque Baseball, and boom, not even a week later or 2 weeks later, that's when COVID kicked, and that was the end of everything.
It was a tough day.
But other than that, it all started with the territorial charter, and thanks to Dr. Dinwiddie, talking to Dr. Dinwiddie, you know, putting doing that symposium about Burlesque Baseball in 1888, and what an event he did there at the
Fort
Wells
Fargo,
at Fort Baird, and also at the Global Resource Center.
Oh, just recently,
What a great speaker, huh?
He is just amazing. I told him, I said, Doc, Dr. Dinwiddie, and he's just amazing.
He's one of the best historians we have in the region. He's, you know, he's got his PhD. He's been a teacher for years and years on the college level. He knows his stuff. He's got family roots here, and just a great, great person to have in our community.
That is awesome. And Roger, bringing you in, man, let me tell you, you've done a lot. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure working with you guys. So have you spoken in length about the history of Burlesque Baseball?
Matter of fact, that's why we had Dr. Dinwiddie, and then we actually we did at one of the chamber meetings. And then, matter of fact, the other day we were invited at the chamber meeting, and they were really surprised that we just stood up there. Bart put on his, Boston fan?
Yeah.
He had his New York Yankee outfit, and then I had my Canadian outfit, baseball outfit, and we just did a little skit there at the chamber, and we did it again there at the Rotary.
Yes, I'm afraid this act is going to go on the road. That's what I'm being trying to be
careful. He goes, "What are you guys doing?" Because we had to do a little bit of dress up and stuff like that. You know, anybody gets close to me, they got to dress up or do something silly. You know how it is there, Roger. So be ready to do something, okay, there, Roger?
I'm ready.
No, but, you know, and the thing is, we have talked about the history of Burlesque Baseball. And one thing that we really want to share to the Saboritos out there, and I'm so glad that you did that, Bart, on breaking it down what burlesque actually meant. And, you know, and throw it out there what exactly really meant burlesque in 1888.
Yeah, I mean, today you hear the word burlesque and you start getting titillated.
So to speak.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so it's not about Mae West or Gypsy Rose Lee or any fan dancers. Burlesque, when it first began, was really started in the 18th century in Europe, and it was a theater. It was a performance piece. People would go to the theater and watch a burlesque show, and the word burlesque actually comes from an Italian word, burlo, which means joke.
Burlo.
So it was a way for the common folks to make fun of politicians or famous people or highfalutin music or whatever. It was just a fun kind of satire. And then it was really popular in England. And right after our Civil War died down, there was a wave of British burlesque troops that came to the United States and started performing all over the place in the theaters that had popped up. So it really took hold here in the United States, and by 1888, we know there were burlesque baseball games here in Grant County. We have photographs and newspaper accounts of guys putting on funny costumes and drinking lots of beer and just having a good time.
What is it about ball and beer? Come on, Roger. You used to be let me tell you, Ken and George, this guy's a heck of a softball player, this man right here. He's probably played more games than I have. And what is it with...
He even plays a gentleman's sport.
He even plays the gentleman's sport?
Soccer.
Yeah, that one hurt. That one was terrible.
Well, I lived in Las Vegas, and we would play upwards of 200 games a season. And some of the games would start at midnight and play till the sun came up in the morning. Then we'd go for a $5 steak or whatever. So... Yeah, it was my pinnacle of my softball career was the Lizards, And our uniforms were Hawaiian shirts.
The lizards in Hawaiian shirts. That's something what Ken would wear.
And, yeah, we actually beat the top police. Police from around the area put together teams, and they didn't like to lose to a bunch of guys in Hawaiian shirts. We beat them.
9 times out of 10, whenever we used to play, the state police and stuff like that, we'd let them win.
We'd let them win.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you're gonna be playing. I mean, we're gonna suit you up too, man. I'm gonna tell you straight up. You're gonna be taking a few hits. You know.
All right.
And can you give a little breakdown on what's going to be happening? For one, it's a family, it's a family affair. More than anything else, I can't believe all the stuff we're going to be doing for the kids.
Well, just I guess I was here in Silver, but I didn't go to the last one. And I guess you had close to 150 people.
Yep. And at least, I mean, we didn't even publicize it, huh,
right?
Bart?
It was just like a pickup game. It was great.
A pickup game. We just laid down the bases.
Yep.
George showed up with his ump outfit and got in a fight with Billy, but I don't know. That's another story. Just joking, George. But, it was just a pickup game, and we put it all together. We only had one vendor, and thanks to for that one vendor that showed up. And we had about 150 people without even advertising.
Yep.
And it was right after the Territorial Charter Day event.
Part of that day, yeah.
And I thought, well, let's move it to May because it was a little, it gets a little cold in February to be playing ball out there.
Yeah, well, this is a reenactment of the game that took place in 1887, was it?
1887,
yes. Modern-day version of that. So there will be two teams playing dressed up in crazy costumes, running the bases as crazy as they can, because there's a prize for the craziest base runner. And there will be an announcer, Raul, making fun of
Boy, I'm going to load it up, man, when it comes time for me to hold on to that mic. And I'm okay with around the mic. Don't you think so there, George, Ken?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So in terms of the family, there are activities for kids, face painting, a bouncy house, there are refreshments, there's hot dogs, popcorn, Cokes. There will be a beer garden for the adults.
Let's back up just for a second. Yeah. We just got to give a great big pat in the back for Wendy Spurgeon, because let me say, she is really good with kids. I had her on the show yesterday, and she does the camps for theater and so on. And she has a lineup for the kids, not only a little bit of art, chalk, painting. That's going to be neat because it is a perfect area. We went out there and walked it the other day, you were there too, you were there, Roger. And there's some areas where it's going to be really neat to do some chalk painting. And we're going to have little rides for the little ones. And face painting, they really enjoy doing that. But let me tell you, we might even do a little bit of taking a few cuts with a t-ball and everything for the kids. And I do believe we spoke to Mr. Milo, some guy that drives fire truck or something like that.
Our local
fire
chief.
He was ecstatic. I told him, I said, do you mind bringing the fire truck and just spray water over the players? And he goes, man, I'd love to do that. So we're looking forward for the fire chief to show up.
Well, we should probably back up and say that it occurs on May 18th from 1 to 4 at the James Stadium on the university campus, which I understand was the first football stadium.
That was actually the stadium the college used to play there, the high school used to play there. Talking about the setting of that stadium, until they put it in the PE complex. But people still hang out there and play in that little area. And it's a small area when it comes down to playing baseball. But whenever you want to hit that big old beam, it's going to be lucky we could hit that thing about 150 feet. But it just started off as a pickup game, and look at where we're at right now. And we're kind of excited about doing this.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah,
we play with what's called a mush ball. Which is a 16-inch softball. It's like a big grapefruit, and it's not hard to catch. It's softer.
So, Bart, how in the world did our mayor strike out twice last time whenever he's hitting that big old beam? Man, what's going on? I think it was the glasses he had on.
He had his glasses.
So we got to blame it on the glasses.
Right. He was way in front of the pitch, too. I mean, poor mayor.
And you know
what? Anyway, it was great to have him out there. He was dressed like I'm not sure what he was dressed like. Sort of a cross between Marlon Brando and Superman. You know, he had a cape on and motorcycle goggles, and he's a great guy. He really, you know, he jumped in and was part of the fun.
And you know what, then we got one of the coaches here, George. He's going to be Coach Cleats. Is that who you're going to be?
I'm really not at liberty to discuss.
Oh, my goodness. Plans.
But I hear that the other team is having some administrative problems, you know,
yeah.
Which is fine with me.
That's okay. It's all right. All right. We'll have to step somebody up to the plate or something on that.
I will say this. We are going to win.
Yes.
You know, we will occupy the field. We all won't take the field. We're going to occupy
it. You know, and the neat thing about this, it's a ball, a bat, a costume, no gloves.
Yeah.
That's what's going to be a lot of fun.
Right. I mean, but Bart's going to bring his hat.
No, you can't wear your hat.
Oh. Bart will be wearing his hat.
No.
Already been decided.
No, he's going to be wearing
it. Meet me outside if you have a problem.
That's the only thing that saved me last year, or the first time we did.
The greatest catch since Willie Mays.
No, he's going to be wearing a bandana there, Roger, okay?
No, he's going to be wearing a hat.
And he's going to be wearing it. No, he's not. I'm going to make sure he's doing
it. Well,
you have a fedora.
You really don't know who you're dealing with.
I know. But you know what the neat thing about it is it's going to be like old-fashioned. We're going to have hot dogs.
Yeah.
We're going to have popcorn, sodas. Right. And we do want to thank Walk for the Heroes that they're going to be putting all this together. And it's just going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We have some singers that are showing up, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They will be praising our team.
They're praising, here we go. So which team is he, the Flaco or the Gordo? Have we decided who he is?
Oh, I don't know, but it's the winning team, whatever it is.
It doesn't matter. We will occupy. We will dominate. It's inevitable. I mean, you know.
So Roger, are you kind of excited about all this, Roger?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great addition. The museum and Will have been cooperating on talks, and we put on 6 talks, typically, a semester, 3 museum, 3 Will. And we even have a meeting today about forging this cooperation, this relationship a little tighter. So, I'm excited. And in the future, we'd like to combine a topic, so let's say mining, for instance, with a historical outlook to the museum could provide with the modern day that Will might provide. So, yeah, it's been a fun year. Coming up on 1 year, I've been with Will, Lunch and Learn. And
that went by fast.
Yeah, it did. And to back up a little bit, it's been around. Will's been putting on Lunch and Learn, I think, 18 years now.
18 years? Yeah. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's Patty Reed started it.
I remember Patty Reed, yeah.
One of the first people I met in Silver, Frank Merritt, he's kind of like you, Raul. He knows he can't even sit at the buzz without having someone come up. Anyway, he was instrumental in starting that. So one of the things that I wanted to – two things I wanted to say about Will is that unlike the classes that Will puts on, maybe 70 or 80 per semester – Lunch and Learn and community conversations from the museum are open to the whole community. You don't have to be a Will member. It's free. Very few people eat lunch, but you're welcome to. And the talks are listed on the Will Lunch and Learn website and on the museum website. So, yeah, it's been around a long time. We're always open. I want to stress this. If anyone has a speaker or a topic they would like to cover, you can contact either Will or the museum. We'd appreciate that.
You know what? I hope we have all the Will organization showing up to check out Bart running the bases.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, maybe next year we have a Will team.
Will team.
Could be.
Actually, you know, I'm hoping that they're going to do a Lunch and Learn on overwhelming force, you know, Colin Powell's doctrine. You know, I've been consulting with General Powell.
Well, I could foresee a burlesque baseball tournament down the road.
You know, that would be awesome. Just thinking about that, that would be really neat to do, to do something like that. But no, and not only that, we do have prizes, don't we? We have one for the best costume. Yeah. And you know what? And now I just want to let the Saboritos, the listeners out there, if you guys want to put on a costume out there as fans, there might be a little surprise for you wearing the costume out there. So please, you're welcome to wear a costume out there, right?
Yeah. People who are coming in the crowd just to watch, fancy uniform, they qualify for the best costume contest.
That's exactly right. And Ken can probably bring his beard or something like that. Or I don't know. Just, I know he's not going to be there. I'm gonna be sad.
I was planning on being there, but then we got this gig, and musicians are, you know, we live from gig to gig. I'm serious.
Well, you know what? We're definitely going to miss you more than anything else there, Ken. And you know what, Dan? We do have, and what's the term, the frozen rope?
Yeah, or the warm burner.
Or the warm burner. Well, we're actually
going to. The frozen rope has nothing to do with any of these CBD joints that have opened up recently. Yeah.
That we know of.
But matter of fact,
that only applies to that skunky stuff. You know, the stuff they buried in the ground and let it mold.
Anybody remembers that fad?
Boy, we're really dating ourselves, aren't we?
Oh, man. This radio station could play in San Francisco, I think.
Well, you know what? You look at the... there's stuff for the kids, and there's stuff going to be for the adults. And thanks to Open Space Brewery, they're actually coming up with the frozen rope beer, and they're going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting because back in the day, if you look at the history of burlesque baseball, I guess coming around third base, you had to chug a beer before you get to home base, and then shoot your revolvers up in the air, but that ain't going to happen there. We better make sure we say that.
Yes.
Joe Shepherd wouldn't be happy with that.
Yeah.
But
in fact, one of the teams in 1888, the Fat Fellows, or Gordos in Espanol, had on their uniform a beer mug. So you knew they were out to have a good time.
I guess that's where the beer leagues came to be, starting since 1888. What do you think there, Roger?
Probably so. Mining towns against ranchers, who knows?
But it was funny. Young single guys, that was the demographic.
It was funny because back in the day, a lot of softball here in Grant County, and I was talking to the guys, and they're pretty much in their mid-70s, hitting their early 80s, and they had a lot of baseball here, a lot of softball, and it was actually fast pitch there, Roger.
Whoa.
I guess they had a team called the Oilers.
The Oilers.
They had to change the name.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of baseball here in Grant County. And like I said, thanks to talking about Wendy, it's an old tradition game, and we're bringing it back from 137 years.
Yeah, it's good. It's going to be a great day. A lot of fun.
What else is going on there, Rogers? Talk to me.
Well, I'll go through some of what's coming up on Will. And a lot of it's museums, so Bart can jump in. But the 15th, I think we have a talk coming June 12th. I'm sorry. But there is one in May. I have to look it up real quick. It's the oral history from Grant County talking about the Empire Zinc company.
That is a big one. Let me tell you there, Roger, that is a big one, big time.
Yeah, so that's a museum talk.
Yeah, that's Wednesday the 15th.
Yes,
12 o'clock up at the ABC room at the university.
Yes.
And Wendy Spurgeon, who we mentioned earlier, has gathered a group of thespians to take excerpts from the historical record about the Salt of the Earth strike, as well as scripts from the movie, and giving a dramatic interpretation of that movie that documented that very important labor effort.
Yep. And then moving on to in June on the 12th, Irene Vasquez, the Chicano oral history.
The Chicano oral history, yeah.
So that should be good.
Yeah. Can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
So last year we got a grant from the New Mexico Humanities Council to sponsor four presentations about oral history and the importance of oral history. So Professor Vasquez, who is chair of the Chicano-Chicana Studies at UNM, is coming to Silver City to talk about the value of collecting Hispanic oral histories and how important it is to do that. Javi, our great curator, will be talking about our Chihuahua Hill project. Thomas Grant Richardson, who's a PhD in folklore and served as Javi's mentor when the project first started, will come and talk about the techniques and the mechanics of collecting oral history. And another local presenter, Renee Provencio, who did her master's degree on discrimination here in Grant County, is coming to talk about the findings of
her paper.
That's
in August 7th.
Yeah, so that's our summer series, June, July, and August.
Yeah. Will is contributing in July with Eric Head from Trout Unlimited, and he tells me he's not going to talk about fishing. We'll see how that goes. Trout Unlimited is instrumental in watershed management and rehabilitation and whatnot. So
they've accomplished amazing things.
Yeah. Yep.
I just want to put in here a little bit of a plug. They haven't met their $500 match yet in Give Grandly. So
help them out.
If you haven't made it your Give Grandly donation, think about them. Because they've done really wonderful things.
And I would like to say, this is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico. This is The Local Flavor with Ken George, El Gato Loco, and we got Roger Tree from Will, and also Bart Roselli, from the director from the Silver City Museum, y El Gato Loco. So I thought I'd throw that out there, you guys. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's there are a few talks in the works. One is a woman named Holly Noonan from Crooked Forest, who's working on obtaining some land in Grant County somewhere to teach people how to build adobes. And it relates to environmental sensitivities people have and Holly's had. So she has a compelling story. I hope to get her. Frank Merritt, who I mentioned earlier, is a member of the Audubon Society, but he has owls that have lived in his backyard for 17 years, and he'll be talking about those.
That's going to be interesting.
Who? Yeah.
Owl?
Yeah, Frank Merritt, and that's in October. Let's see.
Who? Stop it, you guys.
You know, there are a few talks that I'm trying to get together. One is I try to balance important issues, like Saya gave a talk, and Raul did too, political. Artists, Deb Snyder gave a talk on creativity. There was a fellow that channeled Aldo Leopold.
And channeled, a good word.
Channeled.
Yeah, he would have his hat on when he was Aldo and take it off when he was back to being Steve Foster. and he teamed up with his buddy Steve Fox, Dr. Fox. So there's been quite a number of a variety of talks. And there's more to come. So stay tuned and check the Will website, the museum website, and we'll see.
You know, and that's the whole thing is, and when we're, talking with the museum, with Will and so on, a lot of these talks bring things up, just like the burlesque baseball. It was actually a talk that happened in 1888, mm-hmm. The territorial charter. We're very, very proud about our territorial charter. And that's how we get all this information. And it's really exciting. And like today, I'm kind of excited today. We're all going to be meeting at 5:30 at the open space in Santa Clara. And we're actually going to have our gathering with our photo shoot. So, a few of us are going to be in costumes. Hopefully all of us will be in costume. And please, it's open to the public. Go check us out, man. We're going to talk and have a good time.
Yeah.
And that's today at 5:30 at the open space. And then gearing it up for the big game come the May 18th at 1 o'clock at the old historian. Everything's historian. Even George and Ken are historian. All right, the history guys.
You're right. And
go ahead, George.
Ask my kids. I'm constructively dead.
Oh, yes. No. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. We are actually old enough now to become history, I think. Yeah, I there's a lot of people who've told me I should have been history a long time ago.
But, it's really neat because doing it at James Stadium. And I just want to say something there, Bart. That that Mansardian.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, I have been giving those things out like candy in Arizona. Everybody wants one of these, and yeah, it shows the actual, and I'm so glad we're bringing this up, because a lot of people, once again, they think burlesque. Oh, my goodness, you right know. There'll be stuff posted on social media. It's just fun. We're having a good time. People are dressed up. But the original portion of it is, I can imagine these costumes with the crossbones and the beer mugs, and I would have loved to see that game. I think it would have been a blast.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would have been awesome. Yeah. And like I said, a lot for the kids. There's going to be a lot of stuff for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, that Mansurian's nice. And Will has an electronic version called the Spotlight, which will summarize what's going on in the next month or in the past month. So, but yeah, that's a great
Yeah, our Mansardian is our quarterly magazine, and it's always filled with great information about what's coming up in the museum, and there's usually one or two articles about some aspect of our region's past, you know. So it's a pretty good magazine. It's a benefit of membership. If you're interested, we could always use the support.
You know, and that's what it's all about. And I'm just not that I'm trying to throw a plug in for the museum, but I am throwing a plug in for the museum. It is really, really important to really know our history. And it seems that the Silver City Museum has really stretched out, not only here in Silver City. Talking about Silver City, we've actually have really stretched out to the mining district. Yep. Now we're really growing our tentacles out there, because what history is going on there at the mining district, and we're all bringing it all together in Grand County. It is all about Grand County there,
oh,
Bart.
Yeah, absolutely. It's helping us understand where we came from, and hopefully that'll help us think about where to go next. You know, it's not just stuck in the past. It's not nostalgia or dust covered. It's important to know where we came from.
And the information needs to be exposed. And mm-hmm, I just got to say, La Voz, El Voto de Voz, I mean, let me tell you, Nuestro Voz, it was one of the big ones, especially with the people here in Grand County with the Chihuahua Hill Project. Oh, my gosh, that was just amazing.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, it's still up, and it's based on stories, oral histories, that we collected from people who live on Chihuahua Hill or have lived on Chihuahua Hill. And we got so many people come to the museum that said two things that really charge my batteries. One is, gee, I've never been to the museum before.
That's yes.
and the other is, that's my abuelo in that picture. You know, they see themselves, they connect with the museum, and that's what it's a good museum is all about.
And you know what, we have done some really good connections there in Santa Clara with Bart, myself, and Javier, and I know a lot of people here in Grant County, or a lot of people know me. And these people, go ahead, you know, and these people are just waiting to, you know, share their information. And I'm telling you, especially when it comes down to the mining, the patron system that happened in the mining, the discrimination, thanks to Stephen Fox, I'm telling you, he is a jewel here in Grand County.
Absolutely. And, you know, this Cindy, or I'm sorry, Renee Provencio, mm-hmm, who's going to give a talk in August, is a young historian who's done amazing work just like Stephen. So we've got a couple generations helping us dig up this, you know, unfortunate part of our past, but something we have to face and deal with.
We have to, you know, have to be disclosed.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I just want to thank Bart. We went up to the old courthouse, and there was a secret room back there, and they called me up and goes, "Raul, check out these books." And they were from 1886, yeah, 85. And we pulled them out, you know, I have them at the shipping container. I got to organize all that. But I was surprised that, you know, stuff like that, they're like jewels. I mean, you never know. They would throw them away. You never know.
Absolutely. It's the base of the courthouse, or the basement of the courthouse. And if you've ever seen that movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, the last scene where they're putting the ark on the shelf, that's what it was like. It's in the basement. It's like cavernous, but filled with important corporate and business and county records, which help us understand who was living here, the changes, who lived where. It's just important information to have. And thanks to Raul, you ought to get a medal for saving that stuff.
Oh, let me tell you, I've been doing this for years. And like I said, I always call this my tierra. This is my dirt. And anything I can do for Grand County, Silver City. And it is really neat that, talking to the people out. And he goes, oh, you're part of the museum now? And I said, well, I'm not the museum, but I'm part of it, you know. But hopefully that we can get a lot of people from the mining district, you know, really get involved, you know, with the, like you said, I've never been in here.
Yeah, and we, you know, we're named the Silver City Museum, but our mission is much bigger. It's all of Grant County. You can't talk about Silver without talking about the rest of the county and vice versa. And that includes Cliff and all the rest of the county. we've mentioned this Salt of the Earth strike that happened in the early 50s. The union hall that the workers used to organize and carry out the strike is now owned by the town of Baird. And it's sitting there empty, not being used. The museum, Silver City Museum, is going to be working with members of the Baird community to see what we can do to turn that building into some vibrant part of the community, maybe a community center or whatever. It'll be exhibits and programs about the mining district that we're really excited about being a part of that.
And not only that, you look at what happened this weekend with the Cinco de Mayo. Not only that, the LULAC convention here, a state convention, and what a showing happened there at the museum, there at the courtyard. What an amazing scene it was, and thanks to the museum, and thanks. And we got to give Fred Baca, Javier,
great.
Maribel, they have did a phenomenal job. And, you know, and you're including, you know, the Latinos, you're including the, you know, the LULAC, and you're actually bringing in a lot of people for the mining district, so... It was a hit.
Yeah.
Man, we're getting there. We're, you know, and then now Burles baseball. Boy, what more can we ask for?
Yeah. Yeah. And you.
How about a banjo convention?
It got thrown out at a cupboard or something like that. Oh,
I'd rather have an accordion convention.
Why not?
The two most maligned.
Oh, my God. What were you going to say, Roger?
Oh, I was going to say you also cover all age groups, so you have an educational outreach.
Yes.
In the community.
Yeah, we've struck up a really nice partnership again, thanks to Wendy, building on previous work that we did at the museum. But Wendy is kind of taking it to the next level, where we're working with local schools to use local history in their curriculum and in their classroom. So
that's awesome. Well, like I said, the big event that we're talking about, we're actually going to have that Burles baseball on a traditional family friend. Venue is what it's going to be called. Check it out and see. I'll guarantee you, you're going to have a lot of fun. People are going to be laughing, joking. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And once again, it's actually for a lot for the kids.
Yeah.
And when thanks, like I said, Wendy, she's going to be entertaining the kids. She's really good about that.
She is excellent.
And then hopefully we're going to be doing some announcements. Hey, Roger, if you went up to bat, what would be your walk-up song? And it better not be ABBA or the Bengals or any of that stuff right now. Just joking.
I just got this song out of my head, but it's the Come and Get Your Love from Guardians of the Galaxy.
You know?
And every couple of weeks it comes on, and I just have two more weeks of trying to get it out of my head. So I'm guessing that might be it.
How about you, Barb? What would be your walk-up
song?
Well,
since most of my athletic career I warmed the bench, I think Put Me in Coach, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I know, the one with center field, Put Me in Cold. How about you, George?
I don't need a song.
You don't need
I don't need a song.
How about you, Ken, would need a song? What would be your song, Ken?
My song?
My song? These boots are made for a walk, and that's just what they'll do.
Nancy Sinatra.
A little bit of Nancy Sinatra. But no, we're really excited. And like I said, everybody's invited for the Open Space Brewery this afternoon at 5:30. Just show up, you know, kick back and do a little bit of discussing of what's happening, with May 18th. And like I said, it's going to be a great event. And hopefully that Bart can knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
No, in Little League, they put me in right field, and that was only until the bottom of the eighth or bottom of the ninth.
You know,
to get
I,
in.
I was there too. I'm telling you, I had no talent whatsoever, and they'd be lucky that they even put me out there. So here I am in my 60s. Now I'm playing ball as often as I can.
Yeah.
Well, not as good as this pole over here.
Yeah.
What position did you play anyway?
I played left center because I had a good arm.
You had a good arm?
But then my eyes started going. So one time a fella hit the screaming line drive coming right at me, but it was kind of curving. And at the last minute, I had to catch it barehanded away from my glove because I just couldn't see very well. About that time, I figured I better get back in the infield.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that is awesome.
Yeah. I did catch it, though.
No, you did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Barehanded.
All right.
But you know what? No, we really appreciate it. Anything that you guys like to add in the last few minutes that we have on the show there, Senor?
No, I just want to thank you, Raul. Even publicly, I'd thank you. Because you've been the energy behind this activity. And thankfully to Brittany and Anna and Roger and others, we're going to pull it off.
We got Wendy. And let me tell you, it has been like you always say, you know, at your talks, it's it takes a village.
It really does.
People don't realize how much it takes to put even a little game together, you know. Even though when we did it, Bart, it was just like a pickup game. We just showed up, put on a costume, and vámonos. But there's just so much to it, and I'm so glad. Please come out and enjoy the game. Enjoy the wonderful beverages that the open space is throwing out there. And the kids, there's going to be a lot of stuff for the kids. And guess what? I think there's going to be a photo shoot with an old buggy.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard.
It's a one-horse buggy, and the kids are going to love it, and it's going to be a photo shoot. So please, go ahead, Derek.
You know, I thought I'd add the stadium has concrete seats. So
thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Bring a blanket or something to sit on.
I know. We went and walked it the other day, and I guess back in the day, I guess, you know, you had to have a hard butt or whatever, you know, but it has always you had to sit out there and watch a game in the cold, and it's just pure concrete, isn't it?
Yes. So I'd like to say thank you, Raul, for your energy you put into the community. The volunteers that work at the museum and at Will, an amazing group of people.
Absolutely.
And that's what we had heard before we moved to Silver about networking and how open people are, and that's what we found. So when you're thinking about volunteering for some environmental group, watershed, whatever it might be, don't forget the existing the museum. It's a bargain, the membership. Will has courses coming up the Friday the 10th, and you can take a look and see if it appeals to you and become a Will member. And it's an amazing group of people. It's been a pleasure to live here.
That's true. A lot of people move from out of town just because we have that Will organization. Because I'm telling you, you can learn just about anything from records to ball playing to playing the fiddle. I mean, there's everything you can think about whenever they have these classes.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep, and we should give a shout-out to the university for allowing us to have that game on their field. And in terms of classes, the community members can take classes up there. I'm not sure the whole mechanism. But the concerts that Alex Tager brings in is just totally amazing. So for a small town, it's got a big footprint.
Man, it really has everything cooking. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay,
we're going to be doing the calendar because Ken is just chomping at the bit to do the calendar. Right. So throw it out there,
that's
Ken.
That's what I do here during the program is
add
things. You know. So today at 11 o'clock to noon, Sound Immersion, Lotus Center, 11 West Broadway Street, Silver City, Mindfulness and Sound Healing with Tanya Embry. Join Sounds Guide Tanya Embry as she explores the profound healing, deep relaxation, and harmony that comes from combining mindfulness and sound healing. All levels welcome. Previous background is not needed to participate. Also today, 7 p.m., First Presbyterian Church, 1915 North Swan Street, Silver City. Hilo Silver's Women's Culture. No culture in there. No, there is culture. Singing. Of course there's culture in there. Hilo Silver's Women's Chorus Concerts. There we go. Friday, That's today as well. 8 to 11 p.m., Little Toad Creek Brewery, 200 North Bullard, Lottie and the Ohm Wreckers, Silver City's own Cass Nelson, Michelle Parley, and Billy Jack Dominguez team up with Nashville fiddle player Jesse Stockman, a great fiddle player, to provide a night of dance and music in a variety of styles, including Motown, blues, and country and swing. Tomorrow, is this today or tomorrow? Oh, yeah, early one. I'll get to that.
That one's a really important one.
I know. They're all important.
Okay.
You just ask the people who put them on here. Saturday, May 11th, 9:30 to 4:30, Sail Away, Build Your Own Dream Boat Workshop at the Light Art Space, 209 West Broadway, Silver City. You can find out more at www.lightartspace.com, where you can find out the particulars for that and the fee. They will be making their dream boat shirts out of things they find in the street. I'm not going on that boat. Silver City Farmers Market, 1120 North Main Street between 11th and 12th Street, right next to Goff Park. And that's every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Also, tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Friends of the Library Book Sale, 1510 Market Street. It's the city maintenance yard. All proceeds benefit the city library. Saturday, May 11th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's tomorrow as well. Friends of Clay Annual Sale, Murray Hotel Ballroom, Silver City, New Mexico. All proceeds benefit the WNMU Ceramics Program. Also tomorrow, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., Family Movie, Abominable. I don't think that describes the movie. That's the name of the movie. Silver City Public Library, 515 West College Avenue, Silver City. May 11th, which will be the next, which is also tomorrow, the Fitness Walk with Fight Like a Girl starts at 8:30 p.m. at Fort Bayard. A.M. Yeah, if you go up p.m., you'll be late. So it'll be at 8:30 a.m. Fitness Walk with Fight Like a Girl at Fort Bayard. And there will be yoga, live music. At 8:30, be there. Bring your yoga pad. Live music vendors, all their sponsors will be invited to have a table. Pardon me. More details soon. It says, well, that's the details right there. Registration, 8:30 registration, 9:15 yoga, 10 o'clock walk, then music, food, and fun. Bring a strong girl or woman you admire, as many as you want. No early registration. Come at 8:30 and sign up on May 11th, which is that day. Which is tomorrow. All right. Adobe Springs on 7th and Bullard tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m. Bayou Seiko and the Mittelstots will be playing music. Woo-hoo. In the patio.
Who?
Sunday. I don't know who they are. Sunday, May 12th, 1 to 4 p.m., Golden and Groove will be playing at the Little Toad Creek Brewery at 200 North Bullard Street. Sunday, May 12th, 3 p.m., First Presbyterian Church at 1915 North Swan Street, the Hilo Silvers Women's Chorus Concerts, Jazz and Rock Collective from El Paso, Texas, collected by Daniel Rivera. Yep. And Thursday, May 16th, 7 to 10 p.m., Silver Triplets at the Rio of the Rio Hondo, Betty Benededley. Well, that's a great name, Benededley. Whiskey Creek Zocalo, 11786 US 180, and they are a psychedelic Western outfit conceived by William Slater, songwriter and founding member of the anti-psych heavyweights Grails. It sounds marries sequence synthesizer, strings, noise collage, and drum programming to a set of barrel-chested crooners, lending the songs of the Triplets an eerie camp that couldn't live as easily on a dilapidated cruise ship as inside a honky-tonk bar. Honky tunes. You always play honky tunes in honky-tonk bars. Ghost ballads floating about a dystopian post toasties, extraterrestrial highway post. Jazz. This is your freeform announcements, and Betty Benededley plays twang idyllic foot stomping ritualistic rhythms and guitar driven motifs that draw from Ennio Morricone's spaghetti westerns, surf, and Roots Rock. You can find out more at wczocalo@gmail.com. And Wednesday, May 15th, also at the Global Resource Center, 12 to 1 p.m. at the ABC Room, oral histories from Grant County about the Empire Zinc Mine Company strike. This will be fascinating. It will be stories of the historic event. Will be presented by the Silver City Community Theater reenactors. And that's enough for now.
Don't
and
forget
I want to
vote.
Tell you about the early voting happens, early voting locations. And it's what time is this? May 7th through May 31st, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Grant County Clerk's Office, 1400 Highway 180 East. They will be closed on May 27th in observance of Memorial Day. And on Saturday, June 1st, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Early voting location number two, Bayard Community Center, 209 Hurley Avenue in Bayard. Oh, we got a little time. Saturday, May 18th, Tuesday, May 21st, Saturday, May 25th. And they'll be open, something put a big hold in there. Is that 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.? Good.
Yes.
Yeah. And the election cycle VCCs, what is that, a VCC?
That's a location type.
You can go to the Grant County Administration Building at 1400 Highway 180 East, the Silver City Women's Club at 411 Silver Heights Boulevard in Silver City, the Bayard Community Center at 209 Hurley Avenue in Bayard, of course, San Lorenzo Elementary School, 2655 Highway 35 in San Lorenzo, New Mexico, and Grant County Fairgrounds Exhibit Building, 16 Arena Road in Cliff, New Mexico. Voters may request an absentee ballot application by mail, telephone, online at nmvote.org or in person at the clerk's office. Last day to request an absentee ballot is May 21st. Ballots must be returned to the county clerk's office or voting convenience center before 7 p.m. on election day, June 4th, to be counted. And don't bother to vote if you don't want to be counted. So bother to vote.
Bother. It's very,
please,
very
do.
Important to vote.
And they also have rural precincts. Our Sapayo, that's Precinct 3 and 4, Red Rock, Precinct 6, Hachita, Precinct 31, and Mule Creek, Precinct 35. And this is a closed primary, so only those registered in a major political party may participate in the primary election. The major political parties in New Mexico are Democratic Party, Republican Party, Libertarian Party. Go to NewMexico.org, go to NewMexico.org to register or update a registration before May 7th.
And you're late. In KURU 89.1 FM. And you know what? I would just like to say it's really nice to be part of this community. We are all in it together. It's very, very important that everybody gets out to vote. I mean, they're making it so easy to vote. Please get out to vote. Very important. So once again, this is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, New Mexico. And please enjoy this beautiful day. And love you, PJ.
Love you, Raul.